small children can sit in. So I ordered like 4 or 5 high chairs, right? And when they came in, I looked at the boxes and I thought to myself, okay, I've got a choice. I could either call somebody and hope they come in to put them together, or, you know, looking at the boxes, as I open it up, there's only like 4 or 5 parts and a few screws. I could probably handle it myself. So I opened the box and I started putting the first one together, and I almost got done, and I looked at it and I'm like, something's like not right here. Something's missing. Like one whole leg. Right? It's like, what happened? Somebody, am I not seeing this? Did I put it together right? What's going on here? But even I could tell that something was missing. So, at the next event that we have, there's one high chair that you might want to strap your kid in a little bit tighter than normal. Now, you know that's not true, right? You know that I wouldn't leave a high chair like that. There's something missing. It's obvious. Maybe you've had a similar experience at home, maybe baking or making something for company. And when you completed it, you looked at it, you smelled it, and it just didn't look quite right. When you tasted it, you knew something was missing, right? Now, you didn't take that dish, you didn't take that dessert, and serve it to your family and friends, did you? No, because there's something missing. It's not whole. It's just not right, and you wouldn't do that. Sometimes I think there's something missing in my faith. We've just had the biggest week of our lives as we celebrate as Christians. We celebrate the life, death, and resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The joy and the thanksgiving in our hearts is amazing at that time, isn't it? As we go all the way through Lent and we celebrate Resurrection Sunday, the joy and excitement that fills and floods our hearts is just incredible. And if you're like me, you've kind of made a huge recommitment, right? That now I want to do better this year. I want to grow in my faith. I want to be different. I want to know Jesus more. I want to follow Jesus better. I want to be a better disciple. And yet months down the road, it's like, what happened? There seems to be something missing. James puts it this way in James 2, verse 17. Faith by itself isn't enough. Unless it produces good deeds, it is dead and useless. How can you show me your faith if you don't have good deeds? James himself is saying, hey, you know, there's some people who think they have faith and yet they're struggling with this, that something is missing in my faith. It just doesn't feel right. It just doesn't seem complete. What's wrong? Why am I missing something? Well, the next 6 weeks, we're starting a new message series called Traitors. We're going to look at what it means to be a Christian, what it means to be a disciple, a follower of Jesus. We're going to look at, you know, once we give our lives to Jesus, what does that mean? What does it mean for us? And not only what does it mean for us, what does the Bible say that we should be? What does a Christian look like? What do we do? And the ultimate question, what does God expect from us? If we're going to be faithful followers of Jesus, one of the things we ought to ask ourselves is, what does it mean to be a follower? What does it mean to be a believer? What does it mean to be a disciple? What does it look like? What does God want me to do? What does God expect from me? Growing up, I grew up in a Christian home and was just had the incredible gift of good, godly parents who trained me very well. But as I grew up and as I grew in my faith, even I noticed that something was missing in my faith and in my life. You see, I had grown to believe that my faith was personal, that my faith was just between me and God. And no one else really needed to care or to know about it. It was just between me and God. I also grew to learn and recognize that missionaries were different people. They were people that the church kind of helped pay and sent to foreign countries to do things that we normally don't do here in the United States. And my mission was to put a few dollars into the plate to help support those missionaries to go and do their mission work. Now, all that is good. All that is really, really important. But I still felt like something was missing in my faith and in my life. What's missing is parts of the gospel. You see, the gospel, which we know as good news, is not just good news for us, it's good news for the world. And we are redeemed from sin and for the purpose of partnering with God to redeem a broken world. So in other words, like James says, we're not saved by our good works, we're saved for good works. Tim Keller, who is a pastor of Redeemer Presbyterian Church in New York City, and really one of my favorite authors, says it this way. The gospel is not the only way to enter, not only the way to enter the kingdom, it is the way to live in the kingdom. See, the gospel is something that we need to share. But somehow in our culture in the United States here, we've come to believe in a gospel that is just personal. It's just for me. And as long as I put my faith and trust in Jesus Christ, and I have that assurance of salvation, that someday I will be able to go to heaven because of what Jesus did for me, then we're good. See, I think that we're missing something. It's like the incomplete chair that we put in our closet. We kind of do the same thing with our faith and with the gospel. Is we take this incredible gift that we've been given and we put it on the shelf. And we save it for that final day when we're going to need that. And yet, I wonder if that's not what Jesus really intended our faith to be. I wonder if that's not what Jesus really intended for our faith to look like. So what does he say? Well, we know that he commands us to go and make disciples of all nations. We know that Paul even teaches us that we are Christ's ambassadors. In other words, you and I, we represent Christ to the world. And we are called to be on a mission with Jesus. Right? Jesus commissioned us to go and to proclaim and to embody the good news of the gospel so other people can see and hear and feel God's love in tangible ways. The kingdom of God is within you. So God fills us with His Spirit. He fills us with faith. And He calls us not to just hold it, but to share it with the world. In other words, as Christians, we are missionaries. All of us. When we make that commitment of faith in Jesus Christ, we sign on the bottom line to be a believer, to be a disciple, to be a follower of Jesus. We sign up and commit to being a missionary. That's what God calls us to do. You are missionaries in your very own home. Parents, you're missionaries to your children. We're missionaries in our community, in our neighborhood. We're missionaries in the North Scott community, in the Quad Cities, in the United States. Wherever you go, at work, at the grocery store, you are a missionary. But if you're like me, even as a pastor, and I look at my life and I think to myself, am I really a missionary? Is there evidence in my life that I'm on a mission? If someone who didn't know me would run into me on a regular basis, would they recognize that I am a follower, a disciple of Jesus Christ? Am I a missionary? Well, we're going to look at that. Because if our faith has no outward expression, then it's not complete. Something is missing, or there's a hole in it. See, I think that sometimes my faith is holy, H-O-L-E-Y, as opposed to holy, H-O-L-Y. How about you? It's a hard thing to think about, isn't it? I want to be faithful to Jesus. I want to not just be a disciple in my mind and in my heart. I want to be a disciple who honors God in what He's calling me to do. And so, that might mean that I need to trade something in. I might need to give up something in my life in order to become more of a missionary in my world. A trader is a movement. It requires us to live out our faith, not just talk about it. So what are we willing to trade or to sacrifice? Now let's be clear. It's not the gospel itself that is missing something. It's our interpretation of the good news and the gospel and how we integrate it, how we implement it, how we use it in our lives. But we're not the only ones that have ever had that problem. See, 700 years before the birth of Jesus, people were missing something vital to the heart of God. And God made it clear what He expects. He shared it through the prophet Micah. In Micah 6, verse 8, it says, "He has showed you, O man, what is good, and what does the Lord require of you?" So we just asked that question, right? I want to know, what does God require of me? What does God want from me? Micah says this to the people of God 700 years ago. God wants you to act justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God. Justice, mercy, and walking humbly with God. Jesus, when He came to this earth, told the Pharisees the same three things were missing in their mission and in their ministry. In Matthew 23, verse 23, He says, "Woe to you, teachers of the law and Pharisees, you hypocrites! You've neglected the more important matters of the law, justice, mercy, and faithfulness," or walking humbly with God. These are the same three things that Jesus proclaims as His mission when He starts His mission here on earth. The very first message that He preached, as He proclaimed in the synagogue when He started His ministry. In today's language, we would call it His mission statement. And we find it in Luke chapter 4, starting at verse 14. Listen to what Jesus did and said. "Jesus returned to Galilee. He was filled with the Holy Spirit's power. Reports about Him spread quickly through the whole region. He taught regularly in the synagogues and was praised by everyone. When He came to the village of Nazareth, His boyhood home, He went as usual to the synagogue on the Sabbath and stood up to read the Scriptures. The scroll of Isaiah the prophet was handed to Him. He unrolled the scroll and found the place where it was written, 'The Spirit of the Lord is upon Me, for He has anointed Me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent Me to proclaim that captives will be released, that the blind will see, that the oppressed will be set free, and the time of the Lord's favor has come.' He rolled up the scroll, handed it back to the attendant, and sat down. All the eyes in the synagogue looked at Him intently. Then He began to speak to them. 'The scripture you've just heard has been fulfilled this very day.'" So Jesus proclaims that He is the Messiah who has come to usher in a new kingdom. And He proclaims that His mission is about five things: preaching the good news to the poor, proclaiming freedom for the prisoner, giving sight to the blind, releasing the oppressed, and proclaiming the year of the Lord's favor. See, Jesus' mission covers three incredibly big realms: the spiritual, the physical, and the social. And they happen to kind of correspond with Micah 6, verse 8. So let's take a look at each of these realms of Jesus' mission. The first one is, it's a spiritual mission. So Micah said, walking humbly with our God, and Jesus called it faithfulness. We're called as believers to be faithful by walking humbly with God. And part of that means sharing the gospel verbally with other people who need to hear it. Jesus said he came to preach good news to the poor, to proclaim freedom for the prisoner. He came to preach and to proclaim, to give good news, to give freedom to the poor and to the prisoner. That's us. You see, because we are poor, because we're bankrupt spiritually. We can't buy our forgiveness. We can't buy our righteousness. We don't have enough to meet God's standard. And that's why the gospel is about Jesus doing it for us. And when we put our faith and trust in Him, then we receive forgiveness and we receive His righteousness. We become spiritually rich. And we're also prisoners because we're captured by our sin and we can't get out on our own. So we know the good news. We know the gospel if we've accepted Jesus as our Lord and Savior. We understand what He did for us, and we put our faith and trust in that for our salvation, not in ourselves. But here's the thing. Now that we know that, now that we have that good news, we're called by God to share it, to preach it, to proclaim it, right? To give it to those people who are bankrupt spiritually, who can't recognize their sin. People who are imprisoned or captured by their sin, it's our job to help those people know and understand that it's Jesus and what He did through the cross and through the resurrection that provides them with forgiveness and with freedom. We have so many family, friends, neighbors, co-workers who are bankrupt, who are captured in sin. As believers, we're called to know God's truth and to share it with them, to help them, to provide freedom, to provide them with a way out of their sin through Christ. So that's the first one. The second one is a physical mission. Micah and Jesus referred to this as mercy. It says that Jesus came to give sight to the blind. You see, the connection here is that the physically blind in Jesus' day were thought that there was something very sinful and wrong in their life, and that's why that they were blind. Or maybe their parents did something that was wrong, and so because of their sin, that's why they were blind. And the religious leaders believed that those people were spiritually condemned. They were outcasts. They were kept apart from the good people, the healthy people. And Jesus announced His ministry that He came to give sight to the blind. Now that has a spiritual meaning, but it also has a physical meaning as well. And we know that as we read the Gospels, we see how Jesus had incredible mercy and compassion on so many people because He went around and He healed people. He showed His mercy and compassion on them. And that was His kingdom, the Gospel, the one that we're called to share. You see, that's where our faith, our gospel kind of has a hole in it. Because we know about the spiritual part. We know about sharing the good news. But the whole mercy thing is really a little bit too much for us. And we don't do as much here as we're called to do. See, the gospel includes being merciful to other people in a very practical, tangible, and immediate way. We're called to have mercy on the people who are suffering physically and emotionally. Having mercy is to show kindness and compassion for people who need help. We show mercy by providing healing for other people who need it. Now, here's the thing. We might not be able to provide complete physical healing like Jesus, but He still called us to have mercy on other people, to bring healing to other people. And we can do that through encouraging other people, by loving them, by sharing the truth with them, by walking with them and helping them along the way. Having mercy on them can provide incredible spiritual and emotional healing in their heart and in their mind. And Jesus' mission was to bring sight to the blind, to have mercy on those who had physical issues. And His mission is our mission. Jesus had mercy and He calls us to go and have mercy on those who need it. The third part of Jesus' mission was a social mission. Both Micah and Jesus called this justice. Now, a good way to distinguish between mercy and justice is that mercy kind of deals with symptoms, physical symptoms, and justice deals with systems, a broken system. Jesus came to release the oppressed, and this concept seems to relate particularly to social oppression. So who was oppressed in Jesus' day? In the Old Testament, often accuses the wealthy people of taking advantage of widows and orphans. They would actually take advantage of them so that they could get their property, so they could get rich from people who couldn't take care of themselves. I mean, that kind of thing still happens today, doesn't it? We see it all the time. Or sometimes people find themselves in a bad place because of personal irresponsibility or an unfortunate event, but sometimes it's because of social reasons. The social factors that the gospel confronts are things like unequal distribution of power, racism, unfair distribution of resources. Today we even have the unfortunate injustice of trafficking, young girls who are trafficked. I mean, that happens in the United States, right? Close to where we're at. Rights for the unborn children, all of these things are justice issues for people that can't do it on their own. See, this is the part of the gospel that's probably most frequently missing in our faith. But Jesus wants us to have a whole gospel. And it includes the social realm as well as the physical and as well as the spiritual. Jesus came to give sight to the blind. As we saw, this has a spiritual meaning and a physical meaning, but it also has social consequences. The blind or the handicapped were discriminated in Jesus' day. They were seen as outcasts and kind of pushed out onto the margins of life and ignored, as they are in many places today. So Jesus said that his kingdom was about justice. It was about helping those people who didn't have a voice, helping those people who didn't have the connections to be able to see the kingdom and get into the kingdom, and for us to take care of them. Because Jesus wanted his kingdom to influence and encompass the spiritual, the physical, and the social realms. He wanted his mission and his kingdom to affect every sector of the society, culture today. See, if we're Jesus' disciples, then we're called to join him on this mission to seek mercy and justice for the poor, the weak, the broken, and the oppressed. I think it's amazing how justice has become just like a political platform that politicians use to get reelected. And then once they get reelected, it's like you never see or hear any impact from that. Well, never mind all of that. What Jesus is saying is, it's not a political thing. It's a personal thing. It's our job as Christians. It's our job as the church, as believers, as followers, as disciples, to go out and to be Jesus to the world, to take the kingdom that is within us and to be aware of and to tackle and to be involved in these justice issues on a regular basis. As we spend time with God, as we build our personal relationship with Jesus Christ, as we trust in his love, acts of mercy and justice ought to flow naturally out of our faith. Have you ever had that thought? That God has a bigger purpose for you and for your faith? Have you ever, like I had, that thought that something just seems to be missing? I know I'm good with Jesus. I know my relationship with Jesus is good, but there just must be more. Just maybe. That's because Jesus didn't save you from something. He saved you for something, to be a part of his mission. And Jesus calls us to make the world a better place. The church's call is to be an extension of Jesus' mission. The values that Jesus reflects in his ministry are the values and the actions that we need to express as a church. What would happen? What would happen in your life? What would happen in your faith, in your family, if you decided to trade in the pursuit of the American dream, or what I believe our culture says is important? What if we would trade something in order to be more involved in the mission that Jesus called us to do and to be? I want you to start praying about that. In the next 6 weeks, we're going to be talking about what that looks like. But between now and next Sunday, I want you to pray about it. I want you to think about it. What is it? What is something very practical in your life that you need to trade in to be more involved in the mission that Jesus calls us to be on? Let's pray together. Lord, thank you for your word, and thank you, Lord, that you have declared your mission for us, but that you didn't leave us alone, Lord, that you gave us your Holy Spirit to do your work. And so we pray, Jesus, that you would empower us by your Spirit to be aware. Lord, show us the things in our life that we need to trade in. Show us the ways in our life that we've kind of got sucked into our American dream culture and made it all about us. And help us to identify maybe a couple of things that we can sacrifice, that we can trade in, that we can give up in order to be involved in the mission that you've called us to be a part of. Lord, that's such a difficult thing for us. I pray that you would give us guidance, that you would show each one of us where it is that we need to do that, that you'd give us the power and the strength that we need, Lord, to be on your mission. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.